May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. As I said, we celebrate today Christ the King, and the readings today continue the theme of the Kingdom of Heaven and what it will be like when Christ returns. The heart of the messages over the last few Sundays has been all about separation. We had two Sundays where we had All Saints, and then we celebrated St. Martin's Day. But if we had the reading set for the actual Sunday, you would have had a reading about wise bridesmaids being separated from foolish bridesmaids, good stewards from the lazy steward, and then, of course, the sheep from the goats. So today's reading speaks of separating out those who have offered hospitality to the stranger and the needy and those in prison and so on. In fact, to Christ, from those who were unwelcoming and ignoring those in need. So Jesus quite clearly said at the end of the age there will be a teasing out, a separating of those that were sort of allied with him and serving him by serving his people, and those that ignore him or don't want to have anything to do with him. In many situations in life, people often take one side or another on an issue. They see it in black and white. Others prefer to sit in the middle, and others swing back and forth, maybe sometimes. But in terms of the kingdom of God, there seems to be no room for vacillating. Now, Jesus actually said some very harsh things, or very, very strong things, I should say. We think of Jesus, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Of course, he was loving and welcomed anybody who genuinely came to him. But he said some very strong things, too. And he seems to suggest that in terms of the kingdom of God, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You've got to make a decision. And so the response to follow God's commandments and to seek to do his will is not maybe or occasionally or I'll think about it or we'll decide that when the time comes. The response to following God and his commandments is yes or no. So Jesus said there will be a separating, the sheep from the goats. And the next question then is, well, are you ready to stand before the Son of Man and his angels and be separated either to the right or to the left hand of God according to your beliefs, your life, and your actions? Unfortunately, this is not just an academic question. This is not just an interesting thing for theologians to ponder. These are the words of Jesus saying this is what it's going to be like, and we need to be ready to meet him now. That's the point he's making. There's always an urgency in the gospel. Always an urgency, as I said last week, I think, that what would you do if we knew Jesus was coming back tomorrow? How would you spend your life today? So, did you know that in various parts of the world today, that Christians are being persecuted and are losing their lives because of their faith in Christ when they are not willing to deny him? I'm reading a book at the moment, actually, at home, and the author says that Christians are the most persecuted group of people in the world. Now, you wouldn't think that if you read mainstream media. You think it was other groups. But when you look into it in other countries, it's very significant. They're the most persecuted group of people in the world. And I've got a little prayer book for every day of the week, 31 days, where it focused on a country where Christians are in desperate need for prayer because they are under great persecution and suffering. They can't get jobs. They are shunned from society and so on. Many, many things. That's 31 places around the world, and they could probably have more, but they just pray for one every day. You see, in Western countries where we have much freedom, we might find that it's not quite as obvious, it's not quite as overt as that. But nevertheless, you would have to agree, I'm sure, that Christianity is being subject to much challenge today. For example, to pray in the name of Jesus in mixed religious company might be considered exclusionary. To open Parliament with prayer, even the Lord's Prayer, is under pressure. It's disliked by some. They want it removed. Nativities in schools, people don't want them there necessarily, and so on and so on. I did a bit of hospital chaplaincy back in the day, and there used to be in some hospitals a chapel where you could hold a little service or ask people to come and pray. Now it's just a prayer room for anybody. Now I'm not opposed to that. That's a good thing. But you see what I'm saying? There's a shift. You'd have to agree, I think. There's been a massive shift, certainly in my time, and I imagine in your time. In many situations, Christians are politely stepping aside to make way for everyone else's beliefs, while the Christian faith is under scrutiny by all. We daren't offend anyone. Well, that's fine, so long as Christians don't feel that they have to neutralise their beliefs to water them down and become fearful of proclaiming the gospel. Yeah, most of those early apostles and disciples lost their lives because they were fearlessly proclaiming the gospel. So, regardless of the world around us, we still have a responsibility to speak out and live out our faith, which we affirm each Sunday and hopefully throughout the week. But the temptation may be to compromise our faith in public, to fit in with popular culture or political correctness. My own local church, we've just finished a little program called The Ripple Effect, and Marilyn and I were leading one of the groups. And what it's trying to do is to get people comfortable in sharing their faith. First of all, to be able to be comfortable in acknowledging, well, what is my faith? What are my core beliefs? And being able to just share that with others in a very simple way, not sort of beating them over the head with it or Bible bashing, just in a natural, simple way. Because let's face it, we Anglicans are a little bit reserved when it comes to things like that. And just to sort of learn to be comfortable with that. It's a good course. And one dear old lady in our group, she said to me, elderly lady, "Oh, Peter, I went and told somebody the other day that I went to church on Sunday." She was so excited. And I had the same experience. I went to church. I went to a shop one day after church, and as the guy was serving me, he said, "Oh, what have you been up to today, buddy?" I said, "Oh, I've been to church." He said, "Oh, cool." So look, you never know. It's just a matter of being honest about who we are. Does the church have a mission? And if so, is it to reconcile all people to God and to each other in Christ? Surely our mission is to proclaim the gospel and promote justice, peace and love in the world. Not just amongst ourselves, but everywhere. Now, we're living at the moment with a dilemma. We are under pressure to confine the message of the gospel within the walls of our church buildings. And yet the call upon the Christian is to go into the world, beyond these walls, with the gospel. And that's why we come together, to meet, to pray, to worship, to fellowship together, that we might be prepared for the challenges that come with serving God. And the gospel today also suggests that there will always be needy people in the world. Jesus said, "The poor will always be with you." Will we be as Christ to them or not? See, there's lots of ways you can share your faith. It's through actions as much as words. We shouldn't share the good news of Christ simply because we fear being rejected if we don't. But in a world fraught with violence, wars, terrorism, abductions, shootings, murders, and so on, surely the good news of the gospel has a place. Hopefully the love of Christ as shown through believers can bring a voice of reason to a chaotic world. But that voice could be diminished or even lost if Christians allow the message to be compromised. Someone once wrote, "The soul is to the body as Christians are to the world. The soul is spread through all parts of the body and Christians through all parts of the world. The soul is in the body but is not of the body. Christians are in the world but not of the world." So as we do Christ's will, serve him and take care of those in need, his works in us. He works in and through us, and it can cause good things to happen. There's many, many, many testimonies of people who've been, lives have been transformed just because someone took the time to minister to them in a time of need. Good things can happen. Christ's power working within us is able to accomplish far more than we can ask or imagine. So on this day we say, is Christ the King? Is Jesus Lord? Are we prepared to be separated according to our allegiance with him? Are we willing to serve others in the name of Christ? Are we willing to speak the good news in a world which is growing in hostility towards it, but basically really needs it more than ever? So I'll finish with these well-known words. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant us to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together we may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.